Dr. Francis Schaeffer said, the reality of living by faith is a matter of moment-by-moment faith and moment-by-moment living. This morning's faith will never do for this noontime faith. The faith of this noontime will never do for supper time. The faith of supper time will never do for the next morning. Thank God for the reality for which we were created, a moment-by-moment communication with God Himself. And that's why God has commanded us to pray without ceasing, to always pray. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we pray today that you would help us walk in a moment-by-moment faith. We don't like to do it. We like to do things in groups and consolidate and so forth, but you want us to walk by faith moment-by-moment with you. And I pray that you grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And therefore, Lord, we need to pray moment-by-moment, to pray without ceasing, and to keep our hearts and minds stayed upon you moment by moment. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6. 1. Ephesians 6, 1. We have talked about the wives first. We have talked about the husbands and their duties according to God's word. And we have talked to the husbands and the wives. It is now time to talk about the children once again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." I know that I can get an amen out of the parents this morning, whereas unfortunately I could not get an amen out of the wives and some husbands this past week, but that's okay. I'm not in it for the amens. I'm not in it for the likes. I'm standing solidly on the word of God because I believe the word of God works for your life. It has worked for mine. All of my children serve with me in the ministry and serve other ministries. And yes, my wife is here with me every morning, and yes, she hears everything I say. She's right in here with us, and in fact, she's helping in the ministry. Verse 3, "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Those are the three verses dealing with the children in the family. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you want your children to turn out right, you need to do the wife verses, you need to do the husband verses, and not get all giddy when the preacher tells the children to do right unto you. Yes, that's right. Look at this rebellious child. I have no power over him or her. Tell them to put down that cell phone, pastor, and talk to me eyeball to eyeball. No, that's your job. That's not your pastor's job. It's your job to raise your children. At times, if you're going to raise your children right, you're going to have to obey God in all things. And you're going to have to rebuke your children, parents. You're going to have to punish your children, parents, by taking away their cell phone if they don't obey you, taking away privileges if they don't obey you, take away their computer if they don't obey you, whatever you need to do. But that's not enough. Oftentimes, you need to practice corporal punishment. You need to chastise your children. Let me break it down for you. You need to whip your child's behind. Nothing will replace it. Nothing will replace an old-fashioned butt whipping. Do you hear me? It will settle things down real quick. And you will never have peace. You see, I read Dr. Spock. That's why your family's messed up. That's why your children are messed up. I was listening to this new modern psychologist on how that we are not to whip our children because it scars them for life. That's, quite frankly, a bunch of garbage. Are you scarred for life? Did not your grandmother, your mother, your father, hopefully, take some, what they call a switch, off the bushes, peel the leaves off, and tore your hide up when you rebelled against them, or you, as the old folks used to say, sassed them. They'll look at you like you're crazy. And tell you to go get your own switch while they watch you. They sit on the front porch. Go over there and get me three switches so I can bring them together and whip your behind. And start railing on your behind with 50 or 60 or 70 or maybe 100, depending on how much you're jerking. And this licks on that behind part, as they used to call it, hind part. Oh, yes. And dare you to cry and tell you that stop that crying before I give you something to cry for. And if you whimper, you keep on shut it up. Shut it up, because I'll whip you again. Now sit down. You know what you would do? You'll sit down and fall asleep. And then mama got some peace. And that's what you need to do anyway. Go to sleep somewhere. Take a nap. He said, "Preacher, I just can't stand to whip my child." Listen to me. If your child is 2 years old, they come to you anytime they want to play and play Google things and everything like that and get their Jell-O and their Cool Whip, you know, and their little ice cream or whatever. They come to you all the time when they want to. But if they don't come and you tell them, it's time for a whipping. Because their will is in play and they are disobeying you already. I just can't bear it. That's your problem, and that's going to be your problem, because that little girl who's 2 going to turn to 16, and you will not be able to whip it in, because she's going to be bigger than you. And if you have not established an authority with that child at 2, you can't tell her anything at 16 or 17 or 15 or 20, certainly 20, 19, it's over. And by the way, your children will love you more and appreciate you more if you love them and they know you love them. And I am not talking to people who don't love their children. You don't have the right to spank them, and you better not do it. And you mothers and you fathers get angry and whip your children out of anger instead of love. You are not to do it either. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the parents who don't want to spank the children, who wish the children would just go ahead on and do what you tell them, and do what God has told them. But if you have a rebellious child, you better deal with them from the time they're young. And watch this, you better deal with them all the way up. Because if you don't deal with them, the police will. Join me in reading our devotional passage from the Holy Word of God at Psalm 75, 8 through 10. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help parents be parents and stop being trying to be friends with their children. That is not their role, that's not their job. Their children will have their own friends and their own buddies. And we pray that parents would rise up and be the parents that you want them to be, to help save these children not only from trouble in life but from hell itself. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. Verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. How about that? Are you going to do that? Praise God forever. You're going to sing praises to God forever. All of the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Help us to remember it throughout this day. Have it weigh us down. Your word has a way of weighing us down, so that we're not blown with every wind of doctrine and every wind of discouragement, every wind of frustration. And so, Lord, have your holy word to weigh us down this morning and to tie us down and anchor us to you, the foundation of the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, join me in praying for the estates. We do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, all kinds of prayer, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for President Donald Trump and his administration, each member of the White House staff. We pray that you give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and to lead this country. And as we prayed for all presidents, and we pray also for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life blessings upon all of these people and all of the people that we're praying for, and provision and protection blessings as well. And we pray for the leaders of all federal agencies in the same way, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world, the peace, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all church leadership, revive those who are saved, save those who are lost, and we pray that you lead, guide, and direct them to lead the church to revival and to obey your great commandment and your great commission. We pray for all current events that are happening around the world. You know all about them. And Holy Father God, we pray for the comfort of all of those who have lost loved ones in the deadly bombings in Somalia, and the numbers are increasing with over 300 dead and many injured. We pray for all of the families who are still digging out and suffering the fires in California, the hurricane in Houston, in southern Texas, Louisiana, as well as Florida, New Orleans, as well as Puerto Rico and other places. We also pray that you would comfort them as only you can. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the media, that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and lead them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to not make fake news and to stop being a part of the news, or to stop trying to be the center of the news. We pray now for the prayer requests that have come in, or at least some of them. We pray for Marilyn. Please give her a godly husband. We pray for Gene. Please help him to become a good Christian and a preacher, if that is your will, for his life. We pray for Igimuni. Help her to come to know you as Savior. Open her eyes that she might see. We pray for those who have been saved through the ministry recently. We pray for Agera. We pray for Siba. And we pray for Yaro. And we pray that you'll help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. And we pray for Ralph, we pray for Emmanuel, and we pray for Amina as well. Help these to stand strong in the faith and not go back. We commit these souls into your hands as well as ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled The Key to the Master's Orders, Part 1, by Oswald Chambers. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The key to the missionary's difficult task is in the hand of God, and that key is prayer, not work. That key is prayer, not work. That is, not work as the word is commonly used today, which often results in the shifting of our focus away from God. The key to the missionary's difficult task is also not the key of common sense, nor is it the key of medicine, civilization, education, or even evangelization. The key is in following the Master's orders. The key is prayer. Pray the Lord of the harvest. In the natural realm, prayer is not practical, but absurd. We have to realize that prayer is foolish from the common sense point of view. And however, it is not foolish from God's point of view. And that's the point of view you need to be concerned about. Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time together, all of it. And we thank you for this devotional that has reminded us once again that work is not king in your kingdom. It is prayer to you, the King of the universe, and following your leadership, your guidance, and your direction, as you answer our prayers. So Lord God in heaven, help us to pray this morning and to pray throughout this day for your glory, praise, and honor, and for our benefit, leadership, and guidance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, please understand that you are a sinner. You have broken some of God's Ten Commandments. And because of your sins, you're on your way to hell right now. No one has ever told you that, probably, that you're on your way to hell right now, that you don't have to do anything else to go to hell. You say, but I'm a good person. The Bible says we're all bad. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we die. Our bodies go to the grave. Our souls go to hell. But I have some good news for you, because that's bad news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer, for the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, very clearly, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Allow me to lead you in prayer, dear friend. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have committed some, I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. And like a criminal deserves to go to jail, I deserve to go to hell. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to Gospel Light Society, www.thefreedomfighters.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like you said.